So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Prescott back and looking. A lot of time. Throws middle. Caught.
Oh,
15 and then intercepted by the Lions. Bounced in and out of the hands of the receiver and picked up by DJ Reed. Ryan Floyd had it. DJ Reed said, I'll take it. And the Lions have it and they've got this game. They've got this game.
Thank you to Lions Radio Network. Three turnovers in all for the Cowboys last night, and Detroit goes on to win 44-30. And that was, you know, with under 2 minutes left, Pearl, and the Cowboys trailing, and Dak Prescott trying to make a play. CeeDee Lamb was out of the game at that point. He had left with a concussion. He had had over 120 yards receiving already. This was just, to me, a tough one here for the Cowboys, a bad one. I think that their playoff chances are over. I thought they got out-coached in this game. I thought that the Lions, who are not a healthy football team either by any stretch, came out with a lot more urgency, where the Cowboys should have met them right there with that want to, because the Cowboys saw their playoff odds tumble because of that loss.
I don't know. Did they get out-coached or did they lose to a better team on the road?
Did you think that the Lions were really that much better? You had Amon-Ra St. Brown on a bad ankle.
He was pretty effective.
And he was good last night. I mean, Jared Goff is able to be rattled. Just ask the Packers from last week, who were able to get him off his mark. I mean, the Lions were able to do what they wanted to on offense. Clearly, the Cowboys defense has a lot of room to grow. We thought they, you know, had figured a lot of things out over the last two wins. But clearly, like, again, they have a lot more they've got to do, because there's been guys in the secondary in and out of the lineup all year for the Cowboys. They shored up the run defense, but they were getting picked apart last night in the back end.
Yeah, let me ask you another question, too. If they could have covered kickoffs better, do you think it would have been a different story? I mean, in all seriousness, like, the Lions were, first of all, the Lions had, in the first half, were not moving the ball quite as easily as you would have thought. Like, I thought the Dallas defense stood in some tough positions early on in the game, was slowing them down enough where they could have kept Dallas in the game. Then Dallas was getting field goals when they needed touchdowns, and the Lions were getting touchdowns in the red zone. But then it did crumble. You could see the Cowboys defense was exhausted by the end of the game. And the Cowboys offense was exhausted. All the Cowboys were exhausted. I think they came into a desperate situation, and I think we underrate the Lions a little bit. I think everyone thinks, oh, they haven't figured out this play calling without Ben Johnson. Dan Campbell takes over, but he's not really that good. When the Lions are going to really, really use Jahmyr Gibbs, it puts a lot of stress on any defense. I'm not sure there are a lot of teams that would have beaten the Lions in Detroit last night.
We're going to buy the kneecap off.
I don't know. I don't think this Lions home field advantage, again, the Packers just came in and beat them. So it's not they're this it's this unstoppable, you know, place to play.
But I think, by the way, as you said earlier in the week, the Lions had a chance in that game. I think the Lions were utterly desperate last night. I think in a normal situation, Amon-Ra St. Brown wouldn't play. I think they knew their season was on the line, and they really showed up. Goff, God bless him. That guy hung in there play after play after play and got hit and hit and hit. So I'm not sure. I kind of want to credit the Lions a little more than blame the Cowboys for that loss. That's the way I would sort of put the balance of who gets the blame and who gets the credit.
Mm. Well, I mean, I guess you know, I always want to give like to the victor goes the spoils, I guess. But I don't know. I'm not sure I saw it that way because I think this is where you and I disagree.
Yeah.
You're talking about how the Lions had all this desperation and they're staring down their season. So are the Cowboys. In my opinion, you know, if you want to squint and say, all right, if the Cowboys win out and this happens to the Bears and this happens to the Eagles and this and this and this, I just think you're asking for too many variables there. Like the Cowboys should have been treating this like the Lions did.
Right.
But and I don't know if they did because I'm watching back some of these Dak Prescott interceptions. We just played you the last one there where the ball got taken away from Flannoy. And on the earlier interception where I was actually kind of crushing Dak Prescott for it, you know, the first one out of half, you know, to be honest, going back and looking at it, George Pickens needs to just grab that ball.
Yeah,
it got taken out of his hands too. Like guys were not playing with the hair on fire, except for CeeDee Lamb, and he got hurt.
Well, 90% of Dak Prescott's career interceptions hit Cowboys receivers in the hands. That's a known fact.
Or sometimes they hit the defense in the hands.
Not really.
Dak Prescott gets very lucky that guys drop interceptions too.
I don't know. I feel like Dak is no quarterback in the history of the game has had more deflections off his receiver. Think of that Niners playoff loss where I can't remember they had that guy. They had a journeyman wide receiver, key play, hits him right in the hands, bounces up. Niners get the interception. That's a story as old as time. He's Dak. Dak is incredibly accurate. I think it's funny. He's getting a lot of love this year, even though you're right. They probably won't make the playoffs. But Dak, even last night, I was like, Dak and Goff are playing quarterback at a very high level. They're very accurate. Some of the throws they make, we just take for granted. And Goff, too. Really great game. But I think, you know, I've been talking about Jahmyr Gibbs as an MVP candidate forever. He is just electric. If he's going to put some of those moves on you after he catches the ball, again, I put more credit on the Lions and blame on the Cowboys.
Well, I thought David Montgomery actually ran the ball well, too, last night. But here's the thing about why I'll credit maybe Dan Campbell, and obviously Jahmyr Gibbs is excellent. But we all knew what they needed to do with Gibbs. It was not going to be necessarily running him through the tackles. It was going to be getting him out in space against linebackers, and that's exactly what they did. 120 yards from scrimmage, but he was better receiving than he was rushing.
Yeah, he had safeties and cornerbacks on him, too, and they still couldn't stop him. But he runs, he's like McCaffrey. He runs some receiver routes.
Yep.
He's really good at that. He's a fantastic player. Also, Jameson Williams is a beast. He's really, really good. It feels like we don't trust him. Remember last year he had that killer penalty. He seemed immature last year. Now he seems good. I mean, the Lions, I'm not exactly sure what's missing this year, but normally we look at the Lions as the cream de la creme. Creme de la creme. Mm-hmm. But the Lions are supposed to be really good. So maybe the Lions go on a run here. If the Lions go, they're 8-5 now. If they just start whooping everybody, then do we look back at this loss and say, okay, I can understand why Dallas lost?
I
do. That's how I see it.
They already lost the season series to the Packers. It has not looked exact. It has not looked the same.
Maybe
Detroit.
The Packers are really, really good.
We'll see this weekend. We'll see. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Then it's the Packers who are going to be hosting the Bears in Lambeau, and that's just one of the crazy games we have in the NFL. We'll get to the college games as well with conference championship games. But, bro, let's pause on the Steelers and the Ravens for a second. And you're welcome to call in on the Dallas Cowboys, 888-710-4ISN. Poll question up, are the Cowboys done? Over 80% of you are saying, no. Well, the question is, will the Cowboys make the playoffs if they win out? 88% of you are saying no. There's just not a lot of belief here for the Cowboys. They dug themselves in a hole early in the season because the defense was literally the bottom of the league in some statistical categories, and now they're trying to furiously make up for it, and it's going to be too little too late.
Definitely. But 10-6-1 would be interesting. I see you said there was a 40% chance 10-6-1. At least they're in the mix. You know what? If I'm a Cowboy fan, at least I want to be alive going into Week 18 at New York Giants. And if they are alive and they play the New York Giants, I'll get a tattoo of that. I'll do some desperate bet because they are definitely winning that game. If they're still in the hunt, there's no way the Giants are going to be playing anybody. They're going to have their third stringers out there. And Dak Prescott's won 14 in a row. To lose that game would be unthinkable. And man,
losing,
that would be funny.
Losing,
okay,
losing.
Wait, so what's the stakes here? You're willing. So
I'll shave both eyebrows.
If the Giants somehow pull off an upset victory over the Cowboys.
Yes.
You will shave both eyebrows.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Here we go.
If we come in the Monday after the Giants knock the Cowboys out of playoffs, if we come in here and you can look me in the eye and force me to shave both eyebrows. And you can, audience, you can hold me to it.
What if I show up at your house, knock on your door with a razor, just like, I'm here. That'd be creepy, by the way. That was a really bad image.
New phone. Sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah, sorry.
In reality, though, if it does come down to that, you got to think the Giants won't be playing anybody, and the Cowboys have a great chance. We'll see. I do think they run the table. I would do a show, maybe like something light, like lunch, barbecue, since it's Dallas. I'll buy you barbecue. There's a really good spot near my house.
No, I like this eyebrow thing. I want to go bigger.
So will you shave an eyebrow if the Giants lose?
No. They're going to be 14.5-point underdogs in that game.
I'm just still thinking about this image of Maggie at Pro-Off Store with a razor,
like
being
a
like,
Bic?
Here's Maggie.
Everyone has a price. Oh.
Come over here, Pro-Off.
I'll bet you something about the Cowboys running the table the rest of the way.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't know about an eyebrow. I want the upset, though. If the Giants do upset the Cowboys, that you would somehow shave both eyebrows. Just that's nuts.
It's called hyperbole. Yeah. But no, that'd be a really unlikely win. They've had 14 in a row. They almost beat them earlier.
They're due.
Fourth day they're due. Yeah, just like the Washington Generals were due against the Harlem Globetrotters.
Okay, let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers for a second. Big game in Baltimore. From what I can see, most of the experts, like nobody is giving the Pittsburgh Steelers a chance in you know where. Vibes couldn't be worse for Pittsburgh. I think this is as bad as I've ever seen it, at least that I remember, when the home fans are booing Renegade. Never seen that before. At least I don't recall, Pearl. Rodgers is hurt. They just gave up more rushing yards in their home stadium than they have in 50 years or more, and they've lost 5 of 7.
But we do not care.
I don't know. There's something about, like, you're talking about Detroit came in desperate last night. Could you not expect the same thing from the Pittsburgh Steelers? I know they're going to be on the road, so it's a little different. But would you not expect that same effort in Pittsburgh this weekend?
I don't even think it's desperate. I think it's unpredictable, Mike Tomlin. Last year, Baltimore played Pittsburgh in week, I think it was 11 here, and they beat the Ravens 18-16. Somehow, if Mike Tomlin can keep this game in the teens, which means he contains Lamar Jackson, then yes, absolutely the Steelers have a chance to win this game because it's a divisional game and those opponents know each other so well that I think the way that both teams are playing is somewhat irrelevant, you know, in the sense that a divisional game can be. Tomlin always wins weird games like this. He always somehow gets the pace to go slow, makes the other team uncomfortable, gives the Steelers fans hope, and then loses a game that he should win.
Yeah.
That's the Steelers' MO in the last few years.
I know, and I want to actually bet the Steelers here because of all of that, but I just can't because of one stat. The Steelers' defense giving up 365 yards a game. I mean, they are bad. They are bad. And Lamar Jackson hasn't played particularly well because he's been so injured this year. But I just find it hard to believe that they're not going to be able to move the ball. And, you know, if you get even a vintage half of football from Derrick Henry, I don't even know if you need the full game. But if you get a half, then I think it's going to be really, really hard for the Steelers to go into Baltimore and win. And I think this Steelers season, like, I know it's weird to count out Mike Tomlin, but I just feel like it's careening towards the end. And you know what? Like, the more people talk about, oh, could Mike Tomlin have like an Andy Reid-like, you know, resurgence in his next stop? I think he can. Like, I don't think there's shame here in the Pittsburgh Steelers saying, all right, we're going to part ways after 19 years. You know, most teams get what? What's the average coaching life in the NFL? 3 years, four years?
Most, yeah.
I mean, this is the thing about the Steelers, though. They've had 3 coaches in their entire history. We all know that. But that can't be your whole personality. You know what I mean? Like that, yeah. I know it's a lot to live up to. But at some point, you also have to look at what's going on with your team. And I do think that a new voice, change of scenery would be great. And I think Mike Tomlin would be excellent somewhere else if he has a quarterback.
Mike T is the man.
Really? I don't know. Because you think about retreads who've gotten hired. Usually they're offensive guys, right? Like Andy Reid and Mike McCarthy. I just think in today's NFL, I think other teams are going to be nervous about the way the Steelers' offense has looked over the last what, 8 years?
Yeah, well, you cannot bring, you know, Arthur Smith with you.
But he would want to do that.
But
or was, Matt Canada.
But you know what's so funny? There was a time in this world where Bruce Arians was the offensive coordinator for the Steelers. Like, I don't think that Mike Tomlin is a... There used to be a time when it felt like they were an explosive offense.
Big Ben, for sure. With then Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, yeah, they were awesome.
Exactly.
But then Tomlin seemed to get more control of the team and made it more defensive-oriented.
Or maybe he needs to... I'll agree with you. I'm not going to disagree. Yeah. But also, maybe there needs to be a different general manager. Maybe it needs to be a different kind of like, hey, this is what we want. Can you help us with this, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, for most of the time until, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, or maybe around the pandemic, it was Kevin Colbert, who's kind of like a Hall of Fame-level general manager. Then Omar Khan comes in, and I kind of worry. He's made some really good draft picks and some really bad ones. Does he lose too much power to Mike Tomlin in the building? And then Tomlin's like, this is how we're going to build a team, and this is how we're going to run it. It's going to be conservative. I mean, listen, did the Rooneys have to come in and tell him to fire Matt Canada?
Yep.
So what does that tell you? And then he hires Arthur Smith, who is a very conservative offensive coordinator, too. Arthur Smith, a guy who had Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson in Atlanta. I think he had Robinson.
Yep.
And decided to throw the ball to three other players on almost every down. So it's just, he's made some really mystifying offensive decisions. So if I'm an owner, I'm really nervous about that. Yes, he definitely brings like a level of professionalism, and he finds a way to win a ton of games. There's no doubt you'll win some games. But in today's NFL, don't you need the offensive guy? I feel like we argue about this sometime. I'm like, hire the 35-year-old offensive coordinator and don't even think about it. Just hope you catch lightning in a bottle with your quarterback.
Yeah, the Steelers won't do that, though, right? I mean, the Steelers...
Well, I mean, say Tomlin left. Maybe they'll try something different?
I don't know. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Question about the Ravens and the Steelers with basically the division coming down to these two games, unless you think that the Bengals have an outside shot here.
Oh, definitely.
I've seen a lot of that.
I mean, they're two games back, right? So that's not that much. By the way, a couple years ago, the Ravens were red hot. They were unstoppable. Pittsburgh beat them 17-10 twice in the season. Out of nowhere, with, and I was saying, one of the games, the entire game, they were chanting Fire Canada about Mac because Pittsburgh couldn't score on anybody. And somehow they beat Baltimore because this is a rivalry.
Yeah.
This is like an old school, let's hit each other, we hate you rivalry. So I think that all bets are off, and I think logic will not apply. I'm taking the Ravens too, like all the ESPN experts. But Maggie, would you be shocked if the Steelers did something weird and won the game?
I mean, shocked. I don't know.
It sounds like you would probably be surprised.
Yeah, but to be honest, like, I'm not that inspired by the Ravens this year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I don't know if this has the juice, but here's what we're asking today. Who would it be more embarrassing for to miss the playoffs, the Steelers or the Ravens? Steelers at one point were 4-1. They've lost 5 of 7. It's been tough. And the Ravens, meanwhile, obviously, like,
I mean,
anytime
Ravens,
you have Lamar Jackson, you feel like you have a chance, even if he's not 100%.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens came in one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Like, the Steelers were long odds to make the playoffs. I think that's got to be the Ravens. But I don't. But can you blame health? I mean, the Ravens still, by the way, should be a contender because the AFC, without, if the Chiefs aren't there, then the Ravens are back in it. The Steelers, I think, have always been, let's hope everything goes well and we go 10-7. I've never viewed them as a contender.
But to me, if you told me you were going to miss Lamar Jackson for more than a month in the season and the Ravens were going to start 1-5, I would expect them to miss the playoffs. If you told me the Steelers were going to start 4-1 and they were going to have a massive lead in the division, I would have totally thought the Steelers, right, well, at least they're going to probably make the playoffs. Maybe one of these teams make a comeback, but it's likely. I think the fact that the way the season has gone, this would be embarrassing for the Steelers, especially if they miss out on that 9-win threshold that Mike Tomlin gets to where he doesn't have a losing season, which
well,
is definitely, definitely on the table.
But they were 8-2 last year. And they lost their last 5 games.
And that was embarrassing. Like, we've been clowning Russell Wilson since still. Like, I think that if the Steelers find a way to screw this thing up, considering how much this thing seems salted away, I do think it would be embarrassing.
Really? I never view the Steelers. I don't view the Steelers that way at all. You thought it was salted away? I felt like it was like a repeat of last year where they beat some bad teams early and some good teams.
Bengals
and
Ravens looked dead. I mean, but they didn't have their quarterbacks.
Yeah, and then Huntley played the game of his life. I don't know. I still think the Ravens have that aura about them where we still view them as contenders, even though what you say is true. I know, and Lamar can't run. Derrick Henry has lost a step. I understand the logistics of this, but it's still hard to not look at them as the Ravens, as the contender Ravens.
You know, I'm going to say something that I'm not like wishing for it. I'm just observing it. Is the season just too long? Like, I love football, so I don't want to take games away. But it just feels like, you're right, you start 1-5, you're not out of it. You start 4-1, it means absolutely nothing. In some
That's
ways,
good.
I guess it's a good thing.
Yeah,
but it also
thing.
Just shows that the season is just so insanely long. Mm. Like, I don't know. I don't think I needed the 17th game, to be honest with you. I'm okay with it. I don't want more preseason.
I hated the 17th game.
But the
game.
17th
I still
game, like, I don't think anyone was really asking for it except for the league to make more money.
I think actually I would even go the opposite direction. I would add a play-in tournament like the NBA. Add one or two more playoff teams.
Just like in-season tournament?
I'm being dead serious. Like, with the 17th game, I think they will consider expanding the playoffs, because there's going to be, if you're 10-6-1 and can't make the playoffs, that doesn't make any sense. You can be, you know.
But that's not new. We've had 10-win teams miss the playoffs for years.
Well, that's 10.5 wins because of a tie. That's a lot. I think that in the NBA, you could be like 30-52 and be the 10 seed.
Yeah, but people don't like that, I don't think.
I think there will be an argument. There'll be a look at, hey, should we add a playoff team or two? Because there's going to be really good teams that do not make the playoffs. The Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs. And they're a really good team.
I know, but should the sport should bend over backwards to make sure that the Chiefs can get in? I don't know.
The Cowboys.
Be a top 70, you just have to be top half of your conference.
Yes, they should. Yeah.
I mean, the Chiefs are...
I don't know if they
are a really good team. They're
yeah.
they're 500. They have been a good team. They're a great organization. They're not having a good year, though.
I don't know. I feel if they got in the playoffs, they would be super dangerous, because none of their losses are super embarrassing. And then in the AFC, right now, the 8th seed in both divisions are the Houston Texans, really good team, and the 8th seed in the NFC is the Detroit Lions, who are a good team. So I think they're going to look at expansion.
But I think you run into the problem the NBA has, which is like the regular season becomes watered down. Like, why was last night's game so great? It was because this felt like a playoff game. The crowd was awesome. It was two teams battling for what they knew was going to be a do-or-die situation. If you add more teams and add more playoff games, you lose that.
I just warn you, playoffs always expand. They always expand.
Yeah. It's going to happen with college. 888-710-4ISN, we think. 888-710-4476. Meanwhile, we will talk about the college football playoff. You got some conference championship games this weekend. All eyes are going to be on the Big 12. BYU, Texas Tech. So many teams' fates could lie in the hands of the results of that game. Also, the SEC championship game, Alabama and Georgia. We got a thought on that as well. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, Maggie. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. The Cowboys obviously are awesome when CeeDee Lamb is out on the field and George Pickens. Unfortunately, CeeDee Lamb had a pretty nasty concussion last night. We'll see. I read that he's had multiple ones. I did not know that he had a concussion history, so this is a very serious issue because whether you're talking about this year or next year, the Cowboys are elite when they have those two receivers. That's the best receiving core in the NFL. That's better than Chase and Higgins. I will put that out there because I think Pickens right now, coming into this game before last night, was the best receiver in the NFL. It's him or JSN. Second in yards, his PFF grade is the highest. He's been unbelievable. But last night, once Lamb went out, I did feel like Detroit like kind of blanketed him. They knew that it was coming, and it got really frustrating.
I think not only did Detroit do a great job frustrating him, I think the refs got in his head. Now, this was a really poorly officiated game. I'm going to be honest. Like, I know complaining about calls. I don't know if there's ever been a game where this version of Hockley is on the game when I'm not like, oh, God. It's terrible. First of all, it's a flag on every single play. Mm-hmm. And he, to me, is bad. And Pearl, you always talk about how the rules analyst is always afraid to disagree. God. Not last night, because the rules analyst last night was like, I don't know what he's seeing on that Jake Ferguson offensive pass interference.
Yeah.
I thought the rules analyst, I forgot his name now.
Terry McCauley, excuse me.
I thought he was going to like jump out of our TV screen and end up on the field.
Yeah, he said it was. Everyone thought that was defensive pass interference. That call was insane.
It was a big call.
I got to tell you, though, the
big moment in the game.
I'm not sure I saw the safety the way my internet feed did. There was a safety. Yep. It looked like a safety.
Dak Prescott.
And they replayed and they said that he was out. I'm like, he was clearly at about the half yard line when he was first touched. But Terry McCauley's like, no, he was touched in the end zone. I'm like, really? I feel like he's very clearly outside of the end zone when he's, for all that matters is when is he touched?
Yes.
So I thought it was pretty obvious that his forward progress was out of the end zone. But Terry McCauley's like, nope. And then
they showed a different angle.
Saw every angle. He saw the angle, and like McCauley was insistent. I'm like, what are you looking at? I didn't quite understand that.
Anyway, I just have to go back and check about this. I meant to do it this morning. I ran out of time. Does that Hockley, the son, has he ever done playoff games? Because there's no chance that he could be on a playoff game, right?
He's like the top crew.
Oh, no.
John Hockley? Yeah, he's way up there. He gets a lot of games.
He's done playoff games.
Has he?
Definitely.
Oh, my God.
He's a hack.
He's not even known as one of the bad ones, is he?
To me, he is. I think it's all. I don't generally accuse referees of doing this. To me, when he's out there, it feels like he wants it to be the Hockley Show, and I actually feel like I'm playing into it now by giving him airtime.
Are you kidding me? Yes. Of course, it's the Hockley Show. He's the one. It's the one family that everyone knows. They're the pro wrestling champions and NFL officials.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, the gun show is on, Maggie.
It just makes me buy sick some to my tickets. Stomach. I'm not a fan of how they officiated the game last night.
It was terrible.
The offensive pass interference on Ferguson was ridiculous.
Facts.
Yeah. I thought both of them were bad. I didn't like the pick play one either.
That was terrible. Yeah. Also,
On Pickens.
Yeah, on Pickens. Yeah.
Come on.
The guys.
Four guys threw a flag. That was so obvious. Like Pickens threw his arms. I'm like, no, I didn't mean to just pick this guy. That you got to call that one. I thought.
I think pick play typically is like a weak call. Like the guy's running his route. I don't know. I don't like it. I hate those calls.
Find a way to guard that.
They were
both at key moments of the game too, especially the Ferguson one where they were basically in the red zone. They were in the red zone and it backed him up. They end up kicking a field goal, I believe, on that drive, if I'm remembering correct. Anyway, George Pickens has become a hot topic.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman pulling no punches last night about Pickens' effort. Here is the Amazon analyst.
George Pickens throughout the game, especially late in the game, just looked uninterested in playing football. You know, and that's what you can't have. If you're going to be a superstar, if you want to be the best receiver in the National Football League, you can never be disengaged. It doesn't matter if the game's going your way or not going your way. You can't just disappear in these games or else you're not going to have impact.
Okay, more from Richard Sherman the former All-Pro corner, talking about this should be a warning sign for Dallas when it comes to Pickens.
Just right here, cruising routes. You're the guy. CeeDee Lamb is not in this game. He's out, and you get intercepted on your slant routes, and you can't be the guy and half-ass it. I'm sorry, that's just, you can't, it's unacceptable. And if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're looking at him and you're looking to pay him big-time receiver money, $40 million, you got to look at this tape and say, hey, is this a guy we can trust paying $40 million to show up regardless of circumstance? I don't know.
Bro, do you think that's fair criticism from Sherman?
No. Of course not. It's Richard Sherman criticizing wide receiver. I don't even need to hear what he's talking about. That guy hates wide receivers and Russell Wilson more than anybody's ever hated.
He does hate Pickens.
Don't forget Skip Bayless.
Yeah. He's got history with, obviously.
But by the way, Rich Sherman is an awesome broadcaster. I do enjoy listening to him. But no, Pickens has been awesome. I got to tell you, yes, I agree. He was clearly out of his game last night. He was so frustrated.
Biggest game of the year. CeeDee Lamb goes out.
But do you want to cover that guy one-on-one? He is.
Last night I wouldn't have minded it, I guess.
Did you see him one-on-one? I did not.
No, they didn't. I saw
Ryan Flournoy running wide open because half the defense was shifted over to George Pickens. That's the problem. Now we've created this two-headed monster. When you take one part out of it, then they can bracket Pickens. So that's hard to do for any receiver, okay, unless you're Calvin Johnson.
The one thing, though, is even if you're being bracketed, you're being double-teamed, whatever, you still need the max effort. Right. And that's what Richard Sherman is saying. You're lackadaisical. You're not giving max effort.
Yeah.
There's never an excuse for that.
That's not my fault.
If I'm the Cowboys, I'd pay Pickens.
It's not good team building, though. That's the thing. The defense is what needs the attention here. Yeah. And just look at the Bengals. You pay two receivers and you leave your defense and you're not a playoff team, let alone a Super Bowl contender.
When you're general manager, of which I am.
You know? Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got the latest headlines.
Counterpoint. He's still awesome, by the way.
Sure.
George Pickens is great. I think
they'll franchise tag him, and he'll be pissed about it, but he'll play.
I don't know. I think he's earned a lot of money this season. Like a lot of money.
But do you trust him with that money?
Yeah, see, I want to see it again. You got a guy in a contract
year. Do we really know George Pickens that well? I don't. I mean, do we trust him with that money? I don't know how he spends his money. I know he's a hothead.
Not even about how he spends it. Just like, do you trust that he will do the right things and still be a productive, non-combative player when you actually pay him, when he's not looking to get paid?
Or will he be like Terrell Owens and just be a headache?
Or Antonio Brown. Like, that's the big thing. Like, Ryan Clark tells a story that when Antonio Brown was trying to get paid and he saw bad things about Antonio Brown behind the scenes, he went to Mike Tomlin and said, if I was you, I would not pay that guy.
Man, that's a real LeBron James like seeing into the future.
I can't tell if it's true or not, but that's what Ryan Clark said. He told Mike Tomlin, and they paid him, and then Antonio Brown went Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Well, Antonio Brown, I mean, listen, the long history there. Pickens too, but Antonio Brown went in the fifth round. Did he look like a fifth round talent to anybody?
Absolutely not.
No, there were major, major accusations against him in college.
In which college? Like, he was all over the place. Yeah.
Michigan, we ended, but yeah.
Yeah. Anywho, let's get to Andrew Bogish. You're welcome to weigh in on the Cowboys, 888-710-4ISN. Do you agree with Richard Sherman that after watching George Pickens last night, is there a real question about whether or not to pay that guy? What's up, folks?
Guys, it wasn't just us that thought Amon-Ra St. Brown was a long shot to play last night. Many of us were wrong. 6 catches, 92 yards a week after spraining his ankle.
No matter what our record was, whether we were undefeated right now or didn't have a win, I was going to do everything to be out there, just to be out there for my guys. My job is to go out there and make plays and be on that field.
His team is now 8-5 after outscoring the Cowboys 44-30 on Thursday Night Football. The victory does not get the Lions back in a playoff spot yet, but ups their chances of making it all together. Running back Jahmyr Gibbs caught 7 passes, 77 yards, and scored 3 times running, and the Lion D sacked Dak Prescott 5 times, had 2 picks, recovered a fumble. That's how Dallas's 3-game win streak ends. Head coach Ryan Schottenheimer.
We knew tonight that it was going to come down to a couple things. We knew we had to take care of the football and take it away. We didn't do a very good job with that. And then we knew we had to win the trenches, and we didn't really do that.
Maggie, I don't know which playoff chance indicator is your favorite.
I've got a multitude.
Yeah, but the Athletics math machine says the Cowboys, if they win out, would still only have a 40% chance of getting to the postseason.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. And first of all, they've got to win out, and the defense looks a little leaky now against maybe the Vikings or whatever, Chargers, I don't know, but it's they're still going to be in dogfights, I think, in these games outside of Minnesota, probably.
Well, yeah, Minnesota is a Max Brosmer. I know McCarthy might be practicing, but
he's doesn't matter.
He's out of concussion protocols. Yeah. He should play this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they should be favorite. I mean, listen, Minnesota could be a weird team. That Chargers game is the big test. If they go to 8-6-1, I feel like momentum will build and they'll find a way to win that Washington New York game. But again, 40%, that might not be enough. I will acknowledge that.
You got 25% at best at beating me.
I'm actually shocked that it's 40%. How do you go from 9% to 40%?
You got to win all your games.
But that's not that hard. They're not playing anybody.
It is, though. I think that's why. Because like, without winning, it's right now like at single percentage points to get in. So like winning four in a row is so hard that it takes it from like 8% to 40%.
Yeah, but winning four in a row, you have to look at the schedule though. They're playing teams. Washington is 3-9, New York's 2-11, and Minnesota is 4-8.
No, I get it.
Pesky Chargers. Yeah,
but the Commanders game is going to be a Christmas game.
Yep,
it's a short week. I don't trust these
maybe
guys.
Jaden Daniels back.
Commanders.
He's playing on Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, definitely.
You know, the Commanders' defense has been a massive disappointment.
But they've been better since Dan Quinn started calling plays.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe that it comes out of that, but they are 3-9. Like, listen, you think there's no excuse last night against the Lions? There's really no excuse with the playoffs on the line to get to 40. By 40% is not exactly ideal either.
No, it's not what you want. Meanwhile, they gave Denver all they could handle, though.
Yeah.
They definitely have a quit.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Denver could honestly play a high school team and beat them in the 2 minutes left in the game. That is Denver's MO. Denver doesn't want
to win.
That was relatively, to go down to the last play of overtime, that was a rather comfortable win for Denver. I mean, that's how they do it, right?
So you've got Don Bosco prep and the Broncos tied at 20 late fourth quarter.
Bo Nix with 130 yards in the last 5 minutes of the game. That's how Denver wins.
Where did Caleb Williams go to school in D.C.? They could have just, Georgetown prep or whatever, they could have just went down the road and taken on them after they beat the Commanders.
Denver,
the
Commanders. Underachieved for 3.5 quarters. We got them right where we
Yeah, I mean, they're amazing, by the way. Look at that. Have you seen their last 5 minute stats? They're the most humble. Talk about a
second
team.
Second only to the Bears.
No, I think the Broncos are the last minute team. But anyway, go ahead, folks.
This was a significant assist for many reasons from LeBron.
LeBron to Rui for the win. Good! Rui Hachimura hits a jumper at the buzzer, and the Lakers have won the game.
John Ireland on Lakers radio. They win in Toronto, 123-120. So LeBron gets the game-winning assist, but passing up the winning shot left him on 8 points, ending his stretch of regular season games in double figures at 1,297.
Just playing the game the right way. You always make the right play. That's just been my MO. That's how I was taught the game. I've done that my whole career.
The Lakers winning this one without Luka, who is back in Slovenia for the birth of their second child.
Wait, what?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
His wife doesn't live in L.A.?
I guess not.
Hmm. Is it a wife? Is he married?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if he's, I don't think
I
he's
thought
married.
I saw a wife in the post yesterday about this, but I could be wrong.
Why does he get to go when Draymond can't go? Draymond's making a huge deal about not seeing the birth of his kid.
I don't know. This did not hit my timeline.
Fiance, by the way.
Okay. This did not hit my timeline. I don't know how I missed it because I've been looking at the game because I faded LeBron last night and won my bet.
Why'd you fade LeBron against the Raptors?
LeBron James.
It worked.
But I was right.
I'm actually shocked he played. Where was this game?
Toronto.
Yeah.
What the heck's he shooting up for Toronto?
Whoa. I'll leave that alone.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly what you were thinking.
Well, I mean, he's got friends in Toronto. He's always had friends in Toronto. I think he likes that city.
And I'm on my damn.
Like he wanted to go see them? What do you mean?
Well, he could travel with the team, but why does he actually have to play?
He's been very good friends with Drake, and doesn't seem like they are anymore.
I don't think they're friends anymore.
Yeah, but Toronto, he always plays. He plays there a lot, actually. It's a good city. A lot of NBA players like playing there.
Well, I'm just saying it's a road game.
Yeah, sorry,
a road out of conference game that's probably not impactful in the standings. That'd be a good opportunity. Yeah, go there, but why do you have to suit up for that one?
Well, he did just sit a game out.
What did he sit out?
The front end of a back to back. He didn't play Sunday, maybe, and then they played Monday and then last night again.
But if I was buying tickets to any of those West Coast stars, I'd be nervous because of load management. And obviously LeBron played, but kind of load managed.
Played 36 minutes, though.
He did he really? He scored only 9 points?
He put up shots. He didn't play well.
4-17.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was half-assing it. He just
it's just so funny.
Good.
Pearl's like shocked that he would play this game. It's, I don't know.
The Celtics put a 146-101 hurting on the Wizards without a sick Jaylen Brown last night, and the Nets smartly did not win a third game in a row. Outscored 42-20 in the fourth to lose at home to the Jazz, 123-110. And from women's college hoops, number 5 LSU, a 93-77 win at Duke. First time this season the Tigers don't score 100. They had hit the century mark in a record 8 straight to open their season. Guys, back to you.
Folks, thanks. Coming up, we have a big question about the SEC championship game. We'll get to that next. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's a damn good win, guys. Nobody tells us who we are. Nobody, man. We write our own story. We've said it all along. That's a way to show up, man. It's a way to show up. We do what we want to do and how we're going to do it. You guys showed up? Was it perfect? No. Do we have a lot to clean up? Yeah, that's a good win, man. That was a hot team. All right? And that's one down. We got another one to go after this.
Tough morning. We got you. It's Maggie and Perloff.
If only Dan Campbell could give us all pep talks every single morning. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Lions win last night 44-30, put a stop to Dallas's hot 3-game winning streak, Pearl, and probably put the nail in the coffin of the Dallas Cowboys playoff hopes. As faint as they were even heading into this game, now it looks even like longer odds, currently sitting at a 9% chance to make the playoffs, does the Dallas Cowboys. And listen, yeah, they won 3 games. The Raiders beat your Eagles, beat the Chiefs. That was a really good, at least 2 out of 3 of those games were very impressive. But this is what happened with the Cowboys. Their defense to start the season was so awful that they put themselves behind the eight ball. They put themselves in a hole. And now they've gotten a little bit better. Last night they got gashed, obviously. But they've gotten a little bit better, but not nearly enough with enough time left, in my opinion, to save this season from a playoff perspective.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there are reasons. Some guys were hurt. Obviously, DeMarvi and Ovechkin didn't arrive. Lamb was hurt early. There are all sorts of things happen early in the season. I definitely give them some credit for turning around this season, and I think they definitely found something with this Pickens-Lamb combination. Then you pull Pickens out of that, and you could put all the attention in. You pull Lamb out of it last night with the concussion. Then all the attention goes on Pickens, and that's a problem. But obviously, the problem last night was not their offense. The problem was defense and special teams. I mean, it was crazy. I was like, I didn't want him to go on fourth down because I did not want to see them kick off to Detroit, because it felt like Dallas wouldn't make contact with the Lions receiver, kick returner, until he got to the 40-yard line. What was happening? What happened to Dallas' special teams?
Well, they have like maybe the best kicker in the league, maybe, and they have a great punter too, but they have terrible coverage units, obviously. And so the Lions were able to put themselves in some really good field position. Dallas was relying on field goals. They get down to the red zone and things were happening, self-inflicted wounds, settling for field goals. Should have went for it on a 4th-and-3, I thought, late in the game when you're down 10. But you know what? All of it adds up to this is a Cowboy team that's just not ready. And the offense can look really good, Pearl, and there can be parts of the Cowboys team that look good. But overall, it felt like there was a little, I don't say deer in headlights, because they didn't get blown out. But there felt like the Lions didn't just have the home field advantage. The Lions had the experience of being in a big game, and it felt to me like Dan Campbell really outcoached Brian Schottenheimer last night.
I felt like the Lions jumped out to that 27-9 lead, and the Cowboys felt like the Cowboys said, okay, we're the better team here. We should take it to them. And the Cowboys came back and made it 30-27.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what – I feel like the Cowboys – kind of acted like the big boys for most of the game, and then the Lions were able to put the closing touches on it. But you got to admit, that was a pretty amazing comeback.
Yeah, but see, that's why I'm not giving tons and tons of credit to the Lions here. I don't think we're watching the Lions from last year, because you're right. EJ said yesterday your prediction for the game was going to be blowout city, but you weren't sure who was going to be on what side of it. There was a moment, halftime, where it looked like the Lions were going to be on a trip to blowout city. And they could not like put the Cowboys away, despite the fact that they forced 3 turnovers. You know, the Cowboys ran more plays. It didn't make me feel awesome about the Lions either, by the way. I'm not believing that the Cowboys have a shot at all anymore. It's going to hour them right there.
The Lions starting field position, except for the last drive, was the 42-yard line. I mean, that's why I'm going to go full Dan Campbell when I get my next head coaching job. You cannot kick off in today's NFL anymore. You got to go for it on fourth down. The Cowboys had to play keep away last night, especially at the end of the first half. That's the one that absolutely gutted me. It was 4th-and-4. The offense started moving, and they decided to kick a field goal because they have this special weapon in Brandon Aubrey. It's not about the points even. It's about the time of possession as well. Then they gave the ball back to the Lions, who immediately got down the field in about 2 seconds.
Yep.
Then the Dallas defense got tired at the end of the game. I honestly think you have to almost always go for it on fourth down. If you're anywhere near the red zone and it's 4th-and-5, I think the game has changed so much because of the dynamic kickoff.
You're right. I wonder if they'll look at it, or do you think the league likes this?
Oh, I love it. More offense, the better.
Richie's in Queens. Richie, not a fan of the new kickoff rules that basically set everyone up at the 40.
Yeah, Andrew, I agree with you what you said about it. I couldn't understand how you don't go there.
Yeah.
You said about the points, just run the clock out. You know they're going to get the ball back. Yeah, guys, I'm just fed up with it because, you know, it used to be you kicked in the end zone, you get it at the 20. All right, you go now, you're the 25. Now it's the 35.
Yep.
Everybody gets the ball at the 40. It just changes the whole dynamics. And a couple of points in the first half, Ferguson with the fumble, obviously really big. And also the hands to the face. They had a first down at the 5-yard line.
Yep.
So, and not going for it on fourth down. So, yeah, you get within 3 and you figure, I'm going to hold them down in their territory. No, the guy runs back to the 44-yard line. And in one pass, it's 25 yards. And the kick is just, I don't know what they're doing with the kicking, Maggie. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me how these guys are kicking. You know, even 3 or 4 years ago, a 60-yarder was like unheard of.
Yep.
And now this guy had 3 over 55. So, yeah, and again, they're doing this to protect so-called the players on the kickoff. yet they want to go to 18 games.
Oh,
so
I know.
Explain that Richie. Correlation.
It's the biggest always hypocrisy guy, ever. Thank you for the phone call. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. Biggest hypocrisy ever whenever the league talks about player safety, when you know they want to go to as many games as humanly possible, to me. But yes, what you're talking about, the bad Ferguson fumble and then also the face mask. But what, Pearl, you're talking about, end of the first half,
yeah,
4th and 4 at the Detroit 37, mm-hmm. and they decide to kick the field goal with about 50 seconds left to play in the half. But yeah. the Lions weren't happy just sitting on the ball. They go right down the field yeah. and kick their own field goal.
Well,
so,
they only had to go about 15 yards because they started at the 40-something because the Cowboys could not cover kickoffs,
yep.
which is not good. Yeah, I kind of like this dynamic kickoff rule. More offense, the better. And I don't know why you guys are trying to kill my 18th game. What's wrong? You guys, the worst feeling in the world is that February after the Monday, February after Super Bowl. More football. What's wrong with that?
I just don't think we need it. And the product is, by the end of the season, half the teams are out of it and playing for the draft anyway. Maggie Perla.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.